credit scores, down payments, interest rates. Car buying can be a numbers game, but you don't have to be a math expert to get the keys to your dream car. Just use Kelley Blue Book My Wallet on AutoTrader. Crunch your numbers and get personalized results so you know exactly how much you'll pay each month for your car. It's like having a magic wand for your wallet. Presto! The car you've been wanting is now within reach. So hit the road and leave your calculator at home. AutoTrader. In business, first impressions are everything. And that's why every business owner needs to know about Ruby. Ruby is the virtual receptionist company who screens, transfers, and takes messages 24/7, all while making your customers feel special. You definitely don't want to hire a subpar front desk person. And with Ruby, they engage with your callers in a conversational way, just like your best employee would. Never miss another customer call again. This year, make your business the best it can be. Visit ruby.com today. Or just call them at 844-900-RUBY.
Brought to you by the reinvented 2012 Camry. It's ready. Are you?
Welcome to Stuff You Should Know from HowStuffWorks.com.
Hey, and welcome to the super weird podcast. This is a weird podcast. Not necessarily for you guys, but it is for Chuck and I.
Yes.
I'm Josh Clark. That's Chuck Bryant. Let's get back to why this is a weird podcast.
Yes. To explain, our studio is being renovated. Drum roll, which is awesome. It's going to be super fancy, like a real studio. But right now, we are actually recording in some odd office that has windows.
Yeah.
This is really weird. This is the first time we've recorded a show outside the regular studio. And it might sound a little different. Jerry has explained that there's something called room tone, and it's different from room to room.
Jerry just made that up, Chuck.
Did she?
Yeah.
I bought it.
Plus, it looks like the walls are closing in on us.
Yeah, we're actually a lot closer than
are. We're a little cramped. This is just odd. So if we seem a little angrier than usual, it's because of this stupid room.
Right. So I think we're going to call this, what did we determine? I voted for the Reconstruction tapes or the Reconstruction era.
And I made the joke saying that we should call it the eponymous era because that was a much better album.
But that was just a greatest hits collection by R.E.M.
No, it wasn't.
Yeah, it was.
Oh, well, that's why it was so good.
All right. So, what's your witty intro? Or is this all just out the door?
No, it's way out the door, buddy.
Okay.
You see it?
Yes.
Leaving?
Mm-hmm.
Chuck.
Josh.
Have you ever met a Viking?
No. I haven't.
Well, you know the football team, right? Minnesota Vikings?
Yeah, yeah. I've seen them.
You can tell their helmet a mile away because they have those horns on the side.
Yeah.
Which are very Viking-esque, right?
True.
No.
Not true. That is a myth.
Yes, it is. It turns out a bunch of archaeologists were digging around the north, the Nordic area, Scandinavia.
Yes.
Which includes what? Sweden, Denmark.
Finland.
The Netherlands, and yeah, I think Finland.
Norway? Did you say Norway?
Sure, Norway too.
Okay.
How can you forget the Norwegians?
Yes.
They found an ancient helmet with some horns on it. And this was before we had reliable carbon dating technology. And they said, well, it's a Viking. But it turns out that it was probably from the pre-Viking era.
Right. Like an opera, maybe?
Well, that's when it was popularized in the 18th and 19th centuries.
Right.
You know, the enormous woman would come out with her bosom.
Yes.
Very prominent.
Sure.
And, a helmet with horns or wings. And It turns out they wouldn't have worn this because these guys were dedicated to battling as efficiently and as brutally as any group that's ever sprung up on the global map.
Yes, they were very good at what they do. And I just want to point out this is a listener request, a very recent one actually, that piqued our interest. And this is from David D. from Waterloo. He said, can you do something on Vikings since you've covered ninja and what else did we cover? Pirates. And he said, I hear Vikings used to have warriors called berserkers who would eat magic mushrooms before sending them into battle. And we're going to talk about that. So
yeah.
Stay tuned. That's a teaser.
So, Chuck, there does seem to be a lot of misconception around Vikings, but one of the things I took from this article by the Grabster, Ed Grabanowski.
He writes good stuff.
He does. Was that there's also a lot of accuracy in the history associated with Vikings.
Yeah.
Like, they were extremely brutal.
Mm-hmm.
They would indiscriminately kill men, women, children.
Yeah.
So let's peel this apart. Let's separate fact from fiction, as it were.
Okay.
Right?
Yes.
When were they around?
Josh, the Vikings were prominent in Europe in the 9th through the 11th centuries, commonly known as the Age of the Viking.
Right. And you tend to think of Vikings as Nordic. They
yeah,
were.
Sure.
They were from Scandinavia, which are the countries we listed off earlier. But these weren't communities of Vikings. Vikings were like a job.
Yeah, it was a profession.
Basically, you were a professional conqueror.
Yeah, because Scandinavians were also farmers and did many other things, weavers, and they weren't just Vikings. It's not interchangeable. Viking and Scandinavian's not interchangeable.
Weaving's never really been a lucrative job, you know?
No, it's not.
Not even back then. But yeah, so there was a group that were dedicated to moving out of the Northland downward into Europe.
Yeah, because Scandinavia, well, it wasn't a very hospitable place. I imagine it still isn't. You know, lots of ice, lots of winter, snow.
Not that much land, and the land that is available isn't all arable.
Yeah.
So they needed
they went out and got
stuff.
Things.
Yeah, they went and took it, you know, like Broadwater. there was also evidence that population pressure led to Viking plundering.
Yeah, because they started to grow, and then obviously as they grew, they needed more things.
Mm-hmm.
And this is before they started spreading out, because eventually they would do that, but at first they would just go plunder and then return home to Viking land.
Right.
In Scandinavia.
Right. You said that they were around from the 9th to the 11th centuries,
yeah.
Right? So there were Scandinavian cultures mm-hmm. before the 9th century.
Oh, yeah.
There were Scandinavian cultures after the 9th century. So
sure.
For 200 years, basically this population explosion forced this group out to go get more resources, to conquer more land. And then the end point at the 11th century actually generally represents the adoption of Christianity,
yeah, and
which the Vikings did readily.
Yeah.
Once you convert, yeah. It's like you can't plunder any longer.
No, at least not, you know, only plundering in the name of God. And Vikings were pagans, pre-Christianity.
Right, and which also means that they worshipped a pantheon of gods. Their religion was actually highly personalized. There was no central church in any of the Scandinavian cultures.
Right. Yeah.
And their religion was actually highly personal.
Right.
It evolved in relative isolation without a central church in any of these Scandinavian cultures.
Yeah.
But there was a pantheon of gods that were recognizable across these cultures generally.
Sure.
Right?
Two groups. Should we talk about them real quick?
Yeah.
The Aesir and the Vanir were the two groups of gods.
Right, and the Aesir were very warlike. That's
right.
Odin and Thor.
Oh, yeah.
And then the Aesir were kind of like hippies, like fertility goddesses and gods.
Sure. The gods lived in Asgard, and it was a kingdom connected to mortal Earth by a rainbow bridge, which I didn't know.
Which is, you think, oh, okay.
Yeah.
So Scandinavian pre-Christian pagan religion is pretty sweet. They've got hippies.
Right.
They have rainbow bridges, right?
They had evil giants and
yeah.
dark elves.
Yeah, here's where it gets dark.
And dwarves. And apparently the gods were destined to fight against these giants and evil forces in a battle known as Ragnarok.
Right, and they were also predicted to lose, which
yes.
would plunge mortal Earth and Asgard mm-hmm. into chaos, darkness, disorder.
Right.
Which, I mean, think about that, Chuck. All of our religions today are pretty hopeful. Like, even if there is an end of the world, if you adhere to that religion, you're going to be saved. You
yeah.
won't be around for, like, the torment, right?
Right.
This religion, as loose as it was, predicted, like, no, our gods are going to lose,
yeah.
and we're all going to be in really big trouble, right?
Right. But if you were a noble, awesome warrior, and you died in battle, you would go to Valhalla, which
right.
was warrior heaven, and you would be transported there by the Valkyrie, which were little warrior angels.
Mm-hmm, at the command of Robert Duvall.
Right. And what happened was, in heaven, you would fight alongside Odin and feast and die in battle
mm-hmm.
every day.
Right.
And you would get up alive the next day and do it all over again.
Right.
That was their idea of heaven.
It was. It was.
Pretty funny.
Yeah. So the that battle part is really significant because in Scandinavia, in many of the Scandinavian cultures, a young man proved himself by going a Viking.
Yeah, I love that. I'm going to get a t-shirt made that says I Viking.
Right.
And just see how many people know what that means.
That's like the verb of what Vikings did. Leaving your homeland, going down, butchering, raping, pillaging, setting churches on fire. Churches were actually a big target of theirs.
Oh, yeah.
Because the churches are where most of the gold was stored, livestock, spices, jewels, whatever.
Sure.
So they would target churches and kill everybody.
Right.
Or else they would take them as thralls, slaves.
Right.
Which I looked up the etymology of enthralled, and that's where it comes from. So when you're telling somebody you're enthralled by them, you're saying that you're enslaved by their, by how interesting they are.
Interesting. And you know, the actually.
Are you enthralled?
I am enthralled. Okay. The church thing is kind of key too, because that's how the, that's like the only written history about the Vikings where it was written by the hand of the church that was plundered. So that's one reason, because the Vikings only told oral stories, folklore,
right?
I guess.
By scrawls,
which told sagas.
Right,
that's where all these words come from. And but the church was the ones who actually wrote down stuff. So that's why a lot of the written history of the Vikings is so brutal, because they were the people that were just, you know, had someone went I Viking on them.
Right, Chuck, and they also attribute the word Viking to Europeans who were conquered.
Yeah, I mean, there are a lot of different theories there on the word.
There are. Most of them do either the Norse adopted a word
right.
That was that they were called by the Europeans.
Right.
Like an old English word, Vic,
yeah.
W-I-C, means port, like
uh-huh.
port of trade, which is where the Vikings like to attack.
Sure.
Another theory is that it came from the Norse word Vic.
Right.
Big difference. Right. But this one's V-I-K, meaning bay or body of water.
Right.
Or there's another word that sounds similar that means to turn away or to leave on a journey, which is, as we said, what going I-Viking began
right.
with. And then there's the last one, which makes a lot of sense. It's called it's an old Norse word called Vikinger, which means pirate.
That's my guess.
Right. But they think that they picked that up from the Europeans they conquered.
Oh, okay, sure.
So either way, these people were written about by Europeans. They were named by Europeans. They were just going to get some food and gold. Sheep.
Yeah, cattle.
Thralls.
Yes.
Right?
Uh-huh. How'd they do this, though? Should we talk about that?
Yeah.
I-Viking?
Yeah.
They were famous for being experienced seamen. They were built awesome boats and built boats that traveled really fast through the water. So when the Christian, you know, let's say a monastery would see the Viking ships approaching.
And dragon ships.
Yeah, dragon boats. They didn't have much time because they would get there really, really fast because they were very experienced fishermen. And I guess since we're on the boats, we should talk about that for a sec.
Yeah, they had pretty particular boats. As you know, I think anybody could pick one out. They had a double-sided hull, which I thought was pretty cool.
Yeah.
Because you can go forward or backward
you don't,
without
you don't
having
have
to turn
is,
around.
Sure. You just pick up your butt and turn around and start rowing the other way.
Right. Or just switch the sail around.
Yeah, well, true.
They had a keel. They had riveted wood construction.
Yeah.
And then they had a single mast. And this mast could be as much as, or the sail that was attached to the mast could be like 330 square feet of double-sided wool.
Yeah.
All hand-sewn. Usually painted red
mm-hmm.
to symbolize the blood that was about to be spilled by the people who saw it approaching.
Right.
And then you see pictures of Viking ships with like the little circles along the side.
Yeah, yeah.
That's actually accurate. Most Viking ships had mounts where somebody could put their shield up as extra protection
right.
to protect the guys who were rowing.
Of course. Makes good sense. It took about a 70-foot Viking longship, Josh, would have required about 11 trees to make it. About 3 feet in diameter each, and then one really tall tree to make the keel. So mm. I guess it was all one piece.
Yeah.
And these things could haul butt through the water, apparently, because they're real narrow.
Right. And they used wind power and manpower.
Right.
Right.
And Viking manpower was, that was something.
So what happened when you saw a dragon boat, Chuck? You saw a dragon boat, it docks, and all of a sudden this horde of Vikings just comes streaming off at you.
You poop your pants.
Right.
It's the first thing you do. I would have rolled around the ground crying like a baby and offering up my cattle to be spared. But you might not be spared. They generally would not leave much. Anything wooden was burned. They would just burn the town to the ground, kill people, take women if they wanted or kill them, take children if they wanted or kill them, take the cattle.
Probably wouldn't kill the cattle.
No, they wanted the cattle.
They were more useful than humans generally.
Yeah.
And you would also see these guys coming at you with the axe, which, as everybody knows, is my weapon of choice for a zombie apocalypse.
Right. You would go eye Viking on zombies.
Sure.
And Josh, as far as their battle gear, like you said, the sword was huge.
Right.
The axe was huge.
The swords are about as long as a man's arm.
Right. They also had bows and lances and javelins.
Right.
And they wore, like you would think, they wore big, heavy iron helmets with the little nose piece that came down. A lot of times they wore iron on their breastplate, unless they had some dough and they could afford chainmail. But this kind of indicates how strong these dudes were. Do you know what, like, an iron Viking helmet would weigh?
A lot.
A lot.
And actually, Vikings, not Vikings, but Scandinavians, I should say, Scandinavian cultures were really, really adept at doing whatever they wanted to with iron, because they've been pulling it from bogs very easily without any need for mining for many, many centuries. So they were kind of ahead of the curve as far as the Iron Age goes.
Yeah, big time.
Yeah. And Chuck, when these guys died, let's say you were a Viking that had some successful raids,
right,
garnered some power,
sure,
some money. The concept of a Viking funeral, you know, being put on a ship and set a fire,
yeah,
and pushed out to sea, that's actually accurate.
Yeah, that's one way they did it.
The other way would be that they entombed you in an earthen barrow, which is like a mound.
It was called mounding.
Right. The thing is, if you were a thrall, let's say you had been captured in battle and taken back to Scandinavia, and you were a servant to this guy, especially a particularly useful servant,
uh-huh,
you would probably be murdered and entombed in the thrall, or
yeah,
in the barrow.
Yeah, the deal there was they believed in a life after death. Whether it was like an eternal life, they don't really know, or just like a temporary life until you get to your old life. But they definitely believed that you did not just die. So that's why they would send you along with maybe your favorite slave or your possessions. Your cat. They would bury you with your clothes on and maybe with your axe. And they would send you along with these things that they think you would need in the following life to go eye Viking.
Right. You know, there was another a stratified class almost in Viking warrior culture. And there was this little subgroup that the guy who called for this podcast mentioned, berserkers.
Yes.
So these guys, right? Yeah. You want to talk about berserkers?
Yeah. If you've seen the movie Clerks, did you see Clerks?
Yeah.
Remember? Silent Bob's cousin Olaf from Russia. He sang he was in a Russian metal band. He had a song called Berserker.
No, I don't remember that.
That was the first time I'd heard Berserker. And we can't say the lyrics because they're really filthy.
Are they?
But it was funny.
Okay. Well, what he was talking about were this group of warriors that were, they think that they grew out of a bear cult. Like, these people worship bears.
They were nuts.
They, during battle especially, they would go nuts. They would, it was told in the sagas that they would either become a bear or
shapeshift,
a wolf or something like that. They would shapeshift,
mm-hmm,
or else they would take on the qualities of a bear. Like, they would go into battle naked or shirtless, or at the very least armorless.
Yeah.
They would cut five people's heads off at once with one swing of an axe.
They couldn't feel pain, supposedly.
They would scream a lot. Their eyes were kind of glazed over.
Right.
Part of the problem was they would get into such a war frenzy, a battle frenzy,
mm-hmm,
that if you were near them, even if you were on their side, they'd kill you just as soon as they would kill somebody else.
Right, right.
And as the guy said, they do think that this bear cult that went berserk, the berserkers, mm-hmm, were on mushrooms during battle.
That may be the case.
Can you
believe
imagine
it or not?
That?
So you would take this regular, already super badass warrior Viking, then jack him up on magic mushrooms.
And give him an axe.
Give him an axe and tell him to, like, take his clothes off and wear, like, a bear skin. And that was it. It was all over.
I've read a little bit more about them. And what's weird is these same guys, they also think it's possible that this cult was largely made up of the mentally ill.
Oh, really?
Right, or else maybe a little slow.
Wow.
Yeah. These same guys would also go berserk during, like, physical labor sometimes, too.
Oh, really?
You just didn't want to hang out with the berserkers, basically.
Yeah.
You wanted to be in battle with them, but, like, 50 meters to the left.
Sure.
Or the right. Nowhere near them.
Yeah, I would go in way behind there. I would drag up the rear behind the berserkers.
Right. I'm right behind you.
I also saw another theory that they weren't, in fact, on magic mushrooms, but they drank heavily and got wasted basically on mead before battle too.
Huh. Wouldn't that slow you down though?
I would think so, but it would also kind of make you somewhat impervious to pain and not care as much. And yeah, you know, I've gone berserker on a Friday night.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I subscribe to the mushroom theory for two reasons. One, it's awesome. Two, ritual use of mushrooms in certain Scandinavian cults is known for a fact. So it's entirely possible these guys were shrooming.
So David D. from Waterloo, that's what initially piqued my interest, and that's why we did this podcast. So
yeah.
Josh says yes.
Okay. Chuck, these guys weren't all berserk, right?
No.
The Vikings and the Scandinavian cultures they came from actually were pretty good at democracy.
Yeah, supposedly. The common farmer would have just as much say in matters Viking as the higher-ups.
Right. They had assemblies. I don't know if they were annual or more frequent, but they had scheduled assemblies where everybody got together, talked about matters of the day, divided land, and they called them things because I think they just couldn't think of the word at the time.
Yeah.
Right?
Maybe they were a little slow.
And there was a guy, I love this part, there was a guy who was in charge of running the meetings. He was an impartial judge, and they called him the lawmaker.
Right.
So he was the lawmaker of the thing. Pretty generic stuff.
Sure.
Primitive democracy, you could call it.
Yes.
And they actually extended this downward to lands that they conquered. These guys made it a lot further south than I realized. Did you know all this?
No, I didn't. As far as going through Europe?
Yeah. The Vikings conquered a town called Ulster. A Danish Viking did in 839 and mm-hmm. crowned himself king and founded what is now the town of Dublin. Did you know that?
I did not know that until I read this. They said they actually laid siege to Paris at some point. They controlled part of England, half of England, from the late 19th century to the 11th century, Danish Vikings. And they struck a deal with France.
With Frederick the Simple.
Yeah, Charles the Simple.
Charles the Simple. You don't want your king to be called the Simple.
No, especially when the Viking leader was named Rollo. So they were causing a lot of problems with the Franks, and so Charles the Simple, poor thing, sat down with Rollo and struck a deal and said, hey, why don't you guys leave us alone and convert to Christianity and I'll give you Normandy.
And they said, okay.
And they said, yeah, sure.
And Frederick the Simple went, that was easy. Charles the Simple.
Yeah, he's a simple guy.
Yeah. And like we said, the Vikings were, they readily converted to Christianity. These lands that they conquered and held, for centuries, and they, especially in Ireland and England, the Celts and the Anglo-Saxons
right.
would defeat the Vikings, and then more Vikings would come in and defeat whoever. So it changed hands pretty much constantly.
Right.
But through this interaction, even though it was fighting, Vikings eventually became absorbed into these local areas. They brought their customs, but took on new customs, and the whole melange of, or the whole area of Ireland, England, France, is a melange actually mm-hmm. of Nordic culture and Southern European culture.
Yeah, pretty
weird. I didn't know that.
I had no idea. I learned a lot with this one.
And they actually had trading routes all the way down to North Africa.
Really?
They did. And Chuck, we've talked about this before. You know that they settled North America.
Well, of course, Leif Erikson, Eric mm-hmm. the Red,
right. Eric the Red, he was exiled for murder. This
yeah.
is another thing that they probably did at the things. They tried people. Eric the Red was accused of murder. He was convicted, so they exiled him. He took a bunch of guys with him and went from Iceland over to Greenland.
Right.
His son was born there, Leif Erikson, mm-hmm. son of Eric, right?
Yeah.
And he said, you know, I'm going to travel even further west. And he ended up in Newfoundland. Now, this was just part of the oral tradition until the 1960s when an archaeologist discovered the traces of this of Leif Erikson's Viking settlement
yeah.
in Newfoundland.
He found a horned helmet.
Right. He's like, oh, it's a Viking.
Right, of course. Right.
So, yeah, they were all over the place.
Yes, and if they sound like all they did was rape and pillage and plunder, they did a lot of that, but not so much any more than anyone else at the time. That was just kind of the action of the time. But they were just so much better at it than anyone else. They got this rep. But they also, Josh, had entertainment. Did you know that?
I did not. Chuck, lay it on me.
They did. They socialized, and when they socialized, it was generally competitions because they were clearly big on competing.
Right.
Whether it was cutting
improving
someone's head off.
Improving themselves.
Yeah. So they would compete in friendly games like running and wrestling and horseback riding. They had acrobats and entertainers, poem tellers and tall tale tellers, and they actually ice skated.
What?
They did. They made ice skates out of animal bones and played a game on the ice skates similar to hurling, which I looked up.
Hurling or curling?
Hurling. Hurling is sort of like, the best I can say is, it looks sort of like a cross between rugby and field hockey.
On ice.
I think it was on ice, because you had a stick and you hitting a ball toward a net. So maybe it was the first ice hockey.
Or Hi-Li.
No, nothing to do with Hi-Li.
Oh, okay.
yeah, so they were into all sorts of games. They actually had a game called Kingy Bat, which was like ping pong, except they used shields.
What?
So they would use a shield to hit like a ball back and forth over, I don't know if it was a net or just back and forth on some surface. But they potentially invented ice hockey and ping pong.
Wow.
How about that?
That is something. Speaking of Viking culture, Chuck, Vikings made it into our culture, popular culture.
Big time.
Quite a bit. Obviously, you got Thor, the Marvel superhero.
Yeah.
One of my favorites of all time.
Soon to be a movie next year.
Yeah. Plus, he already made at least one appearance in Adventures in Babysitting.
Oh, I didn't see that movie.
Yeah, he played the mechanic.
Oh, really? Very interesting. Yeah, Kenneth Branagh's making that movie. Anthony Hopkins plays Odin, and some Australian guy plays Thor.
Okay.
He didn't look very Thor-y, though, when I looked at the pictures.
No.
Well, I'm sure they're going to deck him out and give him long blonde hair. Oh, actually, I meant to mention that. Apparently, some of them used to bleach their hair blonde, because I guess it was more intimidating.
Huh.
So that is not a myth. So where else? Popular culture. Led Zeppelin? We can't not talk about Led Zeppelin.
You go ahead.
Well, anyone's ever seen Song Remains the Same, obviously, or listened to some Zeppelin songs knows that they were big on, aside from Lord of the Rings, Valhalla, Valkyrie, that kind of thing.
Hammer of the Gods.
Hammer of the Gods was the name of their biography. Did you ever read that?
No.
Crazy. And the Immigrant Song is the most clear example. After the famous wail at the beginning, you'll hear lyrics like, "We come from the land of the ice and snow, from the midnight sun where the hot springs blow. Hammer of the Gods will drive our ships to land to fight the horde, sing and cry, Valhalla, I am coming." So,
I always thought that song was about Appalachians.
No, that is Vikings.
Huh.
Yeah, Robert Plant was big into that. And Spike TV, have you heard of the show Deadliest Warriors?
I have, actually.
It's pretty cool. They pit, like, warriors against each other.
Right.
And the Vikings, actually, in their scenario, lost to the samurai.
I could see that.
Barely, though.
Are these Shaolin monks, samurais?
I'm not
sure. Shaolin monks in there?
But I know they said the samurai won in a squeaker because they were a little bit more disciplined than the crazy eye Viking action.
I wonder if they took mushrooms for that show.
I don't know. Huh. And I think that's it. Oh, actually, I got a couple of more myths, if you want to hear them.
I do.
Vikings were not dirty. They have the reputation of being dirty, filthy people.
Yeah.
They actually bathed once a week, which was a lot for back then.
Yeah, it definitely is.
And they washed their face every day, apparently.
Wow.
So you were just saying before the podcast, oh, you're the cleanest person that we know?
Right.
You were the Vikings.
I'm cleaner than a Viking, for sure.
Well, sure. And they did not drink from the skulls of the conquered. That was a mistranslation, apparently, into Latin. And they apparently would drink mead from a horn occasionally as like a ritual. But ordinarily, they would just drink from a mug.
Well, that's it for the Vikings, Chuck.
For real. They're
nice,
gone.
Nice additional research.
Mm-hmm.
Appreciate that. If you want to learn a little more, see some cool pics, including some actual swords, which I thought was pretty cool. What about you, Chuck?
Loved it.
You could type Vikings into the handy search bar at HowStuffWorks.com, which leads us to listener mail.
Not quite yet, Josh.
You always do that.
I'm teasing. Actually, I'm not teasing. We just want to plug. We did a little interview with a dude named Wayne in Omaha, Nebraska.
Yes, Worlds of Wayne.
Worlds of Wayne podcast, which he interviews artists and musicians and cool people. So I don't know why he called us, but he did. And it's actually already up. So if you want to hear a pretty fun interview with us, you can go to worldsofwayne.libsyn.com. Or Josh said you can just Google Worlds of Wayne, and that's the first thing that comes up.
It is. I've done it.
So apparently there's no store called Worlds of Wayne.
No.
Which is good. And it's episode 113, and you'll see our big logo there, and click on it. It's kind of a cool, fun little interview.
Ta-da! Now listener mail, right?
Yes.
Okay.
So, Josh, I'm going to call this another list of firsts from Patrick.
Okay.
Is our super fan Patrick compiles these list of firsts in our show, which I think are kind of cool.
Oh, yeah.
Because I wouldn't take
the time.
He's
our stat guy.
He is. So, the first podcast, of course, was How Grasoline Works. And was that you and Paulette?
Yeah.
And is that accurate?
I don't remember.
Okay.
That was like 200 episodes ago.
I know. Well, we're close to that, actually. The first podcast with Candace Gibson was, now Candace Keener, was How Altruism Works. First podcast with me, remember?
I know that one.
Does gum stay in your stomach?
I thought it was orange juice toothpaste.
Oh, was it?
It was one of those two.
Patrick, we might have to take issue with your stats, buddy. First mention of fight or flight response was How Hysterical Strength Works.
That was a great one.
First podcast with three people, How Contagious Yawning Works. First time Josh mentions being born in Ohio, How the Eye of the Tornado Works.
No.
That's what he says.
Wow.
First bleeped out swear word, first of many, How Swearing Works, obviously.
Awesome.
First mention of Josh and Chuck's pets, Are Dogs a Shark's Favorite Meal? First podcast over 10 minutes, How Can a Cat Scuba Dive? Remember Scuba Cat?
Sure.
First over 20, Is Quitting Smoking Contagious? First over 30, How Lobotomies Work?
Yeah,
and
that's a good
one. Recently, the first over 40, How Witchcraft Works.
Yep.
And then just a couple of more. First listener mail was issued in How Einstein's Brain Works. And the first podcast that Patrick listened to is The World Going to End in 2012?
Awesome.
I love the first.
Those are some great stats.
This is the first one in the new room.
Yeah, make a note, Patrick.
And then we'll have the first in the awesome studio.
I don't like this room at all.
Yeah.
Like, my neck feels weird. I'm on the opposite side. Everything's just wrong.
I know. I'm very out of sorts.
Well, if you have a story about going berserk, we would love to hear it. You can wrap it up in an email and send it to stuffpodcast@howstuffworks.com.
For more on this and thousands of other topics, visit howstuffworks.com. Want more How Stuff Works? Check out our blogs on the howstuffworks.com homepage. Brought to you by the reinvented 2012 Camry. It's ready. Are you?
Life in our modern age comes at you pretty fast, which makes our time away especially valuable. When I take time to relax, I like to get far from my everyday life, immerse myself in natural beauty, and have unique experiences. But you don't have to leave the U.S. to experience tropical rainforests and islands filled with adventure, warm culture, and national treasures. Visit Puerto Rico, an island with a vibrant spirit that will sweep you away. Because when you visit, you don't become part of the island, it becomes part of you. In Puerto Rico, you can forget where you came from and embrace where you are. Puerto Rico, where visits end, but stories last forever. No passport required for U.S. citizens and permanent residents. Learn more and plan your trip at discoverpuertorico.com.
The first cell phone was demonstrated in 1973 by Martin Cooper. But you know what wasn't demonstrated? Shared plans. Over 50 years later, you can save on one line, thanks to Visible. It's true. So switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon for just $25 a month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com.
Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.